Kupuna Wiki was previously recorded.
Welcome to Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource, the radio show that helps you find answers on important topics like finances, senior housing, estate planning, real estate, health, and much more. Now let's join Kupuna Wiki hosts Brandon Lau and Andrew Leon.
Aloha and welcome to the Kupuna Wiki radio show. This month we're talking about estate planning, and in studio we have John Van Etta, an attorney with the law office of Stephen H. Reese. Kupuna Wiki is Hawaii's senior resource. We talk to the best local professionals in the state regarding topics such as real estate, senior housing, estate planning, finance, and health, so that our kupuna families can find the best resources in the midst of a life transition. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Brandon Lau.
And I'm Andrew Leong,
your host for the Kupuna Wiki radio show.
If you missed any of our shows on air, the Kupuna Wiki radio show is available as a podcast and can be found on both Spotify and Apple for your listening pleasure. Our title sponsor for today is Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 753-9033.
And now we have a real estate tip of the week brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
Searching for a new home can be a daunting task. Among the properties that are available to choose from, buyers often wonder, how do I know which building is safe to put my money into? Although both you and your agent need to do your due diligence in affirming a property is a good fit for you, it is also important to do the following. Number one, check the average sales history for the building. Generally speaking, a building's past sales trend could be a good indicator of how the building may perform in the future. Number two, always check to see if the association is planning any major renovations, which may result in a large assessment to unit owners. Number three, always be sure that your property is up to code. And number four, review the condo docs. The condo docs contain a wealth of information about a condo, including its history, budget, and any future plans that the association is considering, and more.
For more information on purchasing your next condominium or looking into a new building, contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors at 753-9033. Again, today we have the pleasure of speaking with John Van Etta, who's an estate planning attorney with the law office of Stephen H. Reese. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Hello. I appreciate the opportunity of being here.
Thanks for joining us. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself and your firm.
So our firm, the law office of Stephen Reese, has been helping clients, families, and Kapuna locally here for over 30 years. So
right.
We help people put in place their estate plans. That includes things like wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and advanced health care directives.
Right. And tell us a little about yourself. How long have you been in this profession?
Yeah. So I have been in the estate planning / financial planning world for about 13 years.
Okay.
So I graduated from law school in 2008 from a school called the University of California, Hastings. That's in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much knew around my third year that I wanted to practice in the areas of trust and estate and also small business planning. I was a big fan of small businesses. But I didn't actually go into estate planning right away.
Right.
Right out of law school, I actually went into financial services, into wealth management. So I was helping people with their stocks, bonds, mm-hmm. mutual funds, financial planning, mm-hmm. Retirement. So very much along the same lines of what I'm doing now with estate planning. And in fact, in that role, worked with
Different attorneys, right?
Yeah, in putting people's financial plans into place. So then after doing that a couple of years, I decided to go back into law,
mm-hmm.
and so went into private practice and have been doing trust and estate work pretty much ever since.
That's great.
And now, focus on estate planning and probate, but I also did a little bit, like we were talking before, some litigation in mm-hmm. that context as well when things went
different time in your life.
Yeah. Went wrong. Yeah.
Well, now you're definitely helping families plan for their futures and using a lot of your financial background in doing so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious, what motivates you to do this and why did you make that pivot in the first place?
I liked doing the legal side of it a bit better than the financial side.
Right.
You know, if you know you ever you know follow the markets and things like that, you mm-hmm. understand there's a lot of things you can't control.
Right. Right.
And you know, not that we can control everything in the estate planning or legal side of things, but I just found that was a better fit for me. So I really enjoy working with people and being able to sit down with them and hear their stories.
Right.
Because I think that we can tend to think of estate planning as sort of this dry topic or this thing that we have to check off our to-do list. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're really dealing with, you know, people's lives and
right.
you know, their financial assets, their financial situation, their family is really just an indication of everything that's mm-hmm. happened to them up until that point. So it's really a pleasure and kind of a privilege to be a part of that and
right.
Shaping that family story.
And really is a crucial role. I mean,
yeah.
you're hearing from their stories, but you're also guiding them to make sure that their story has a happy ending.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the gravity of that really hits you mm-hmm. sometimes when you're talking with clients, because a lot of times, you know, what we're dealing with, I mean, we're dealing with significant milestones
right.
in people's lives. And when people come to us and they're planning, they're really shaping sort of the, you know, the next generation and what the family might look like mm-hmm. after, you know, they're gone, and maybe being the difference between somebody being able to attend college or purchase their first home or
right.
go into business or something like that. So yeah, it's, you know, when you think about it like that, sometimes you know, it's there's some gravity to it. So it's great.
Yeah. And of course you went to law school in California.
Yeah.
How'd you end up in Hawaii? Like, what's your story there?
Yeah, so I'm actually originally from Hawaii.
Yeah.
And so I consider myself to be from two places,
okay.
really, and that's Montana and Hawaii. So on my mother's side, my family came to Montana. They were immigrants to Montana, and on my father's side, immigrants to Hawaii. So that's...
That Montana-Hawaii connection.
Yeah, pretty rare, but yeah. Two beautiful, beautiful places.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit of what you're currently helping your clients with these days. Is there anything in particular that, you know, either because of the pandemic or retiring from their jobs that you've started to help people more with in this current season of your practice?
Yeah, good question. You know, I think, I don't know so much if, you know, the work that we're doing has changed as much as maybe some of the questions and the emphasis, maybe, you know, particularly with the COVID situation, you know, and everybody, you know, watching the news and seeing what's happening and being concerned about their health. You know, a lot more questions about, you know, what happens if I become incapacitated,
right.
I become ill, mm-hmm. If I have to go on a ventilator or something like that. So, you know, things like powers of attorney
mm-hmm.
And advanced healthcare directive, which right. are, you know, documents that help people. Really, you're just designating somebody, and preferably an alternate behind that, that mm-hmm. can take care of things if something were to, you know, happen to you. So, you know, pay the bills, pay the mortgage, and if somebody needs to make decisions for you for your health reasons, that they can do that.
Yeah, that's really important to have somebody who can assist in the case that you're not able to or
Absolutely.
You're incapacitated.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
And choosing that right person is really, really important.
It is important. And yeah. So a lot of times clients, you know, will ask, well, who should I name?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good question, because sometimes, you know, the person might not be the same for one role or another.
Right.
So when you're dealing with something like a power of attorney, that's more for financial aspects. And then, of course, an advanced healthcare directive is for medical issues. And so one person might be, you know, very good at money and be able to make those types of decisions. But that same person, when it came to, you know, anything health-wise, I freak out, you know, and they might just not be able to handle that situation and freeze, which is probably, you know, the moment when you don't want to have somebody that's
or you may not want that person next to that switch, the on-off switch.
Right, right, right. You want somebody that knows what you want. Yeah.
Well, it's a very serious consideration, and it does take advice from professionals like yourself to make the right choices. But also, I know that, you know, estate planning is, although you might be the quarterback, it involves a lot of other participants to make it work, and it's a very collaborative process. So maybe you can share a little bit of what that collaboration looks like.
Sure. Well, when clients come to us, oftentimes they have what I'll call a team or other professionals that they're working with, you know. So that might be like a life insurance professional or financial planner, CPA, that type of thing. And so it's important, or I've always found it important to emphasize taking a collaborative effort and bringing those types of people into the picture. And if folks don't have those people, maybe recommend that they get those people in place, because I know my area, and then other people may know their area a little bit better. And so when we're talking to clients, I'd like to emphasize that take a little bit bigger picture than maybe just a will or just a trust, because those are the documents, obviously, that people hear about all the time. So they'll come to us and say, should I do a will or a trust? I always like to explain to clients that, again, it's a little bit broader than just a will or trust. You have to look at, you know, all the things that you own and how those particular things that you own might pass. And to, you know, some clients' surprise, it may be passes differently than they understand it to pass, even if they did a will. So, for instance, let's say that you have a financial advisor that you're working with, and you have, say, a retirement account, an IRA, and your advisor, you know, encourages you probably to name your spouse as the beneficiary of that IRA. And there's certain tax benefits that your spouse may get in doing that. And so a person might do that, and then a year or two later come to me or somebody like me and say, I want to do a will or whatever, and I want to give everything to, you know, so-and-so, and maybe forget that they have that beneficiary designation on there. And so they don't understand that, you know, they may include in their will a provision that everything goes to so-and-so or it's split equally, but then forget to consider that that account, which passes automatically, you know, would go to somebody else. And so similar thing with, like, the way the title property is titled. If people hold property jointly, spouses called tenancy by the entirety, that they the survivor automatically takes the deceased person's interests. And so a lot of people maybe don't understand that concept right away, that even if I did a will, the property can pass contrary to that. But on the flip side of that is also using those types of transfer mechanisms to your benefit, so that everything's coordinated. And so looping back to our, you know, original question about, you know, collaboration or whatever, when you have your financial folks in place, you're able to make sure that, you know, you got all your beneficiaries designated, and you know, you have all that information for somebody that they can have a comprehensive plan.
So what you're saying is, let's say you had a conflict and your will was in conflict with beneficiary designation on a financial account.
Yeah.
You're saying that financial account beneficiary designation would take precedent over the will.
Yes.
And it's just, if these people aren't talking to each other, and the owner of the account forgets that these things were created that way, then you could have a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And that's where the disputes happen, right?
Yeah, that is definitely one area where some disputes happen. So people, you know, they go about their lives and they may be working with an advisor, maybe not, maybe they switch advisors and then things in their life change. And so maybe 20 years ago you designated somebody, maybe your designation is blank, things like that. And then believe it or not, some people just forget that they even have, oh, I forgot about that old retirement account that I had, or geez, I haven't looked at that, you know, savings account in a while. And so when they're planning their estate and they're just thinking about, oh, who do I want this to go to, and they do a document, they forget about these other things out there that maybe then in the whole shape of things doesn't go how they want because some assets have gone to people other than they expected.
So John, is one of the first steps in helping a person to maybe take stock and inventory everything just to make sure they know what's what?
Yeah.
And then you can properly organize it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I sort of call that the discovery process.
Okay.
and that might be a carryover from sort of litigation days, but it's really taking an inventory of what you have. And then understanding how what you have passes, and then how your documents work with all of that.
Yeah. Well, John, that's a great place to start off right after a break. So when we come back, maybe you can share a little bit more about how you help somebody start in that inventory phase and then end up with the proper documents that will help them get set up for their estate plan.
Great.
So we'll talk more after that, right after this commercial break.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this.
Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them clientservice@choicehi.com.
Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
Welcome back. We're speaking with John Vanatta. He's an estate planning attorney at the law office of Stephen H. Reese. And you know, I want to jump right back in because you know, we kind of ended in a great conversation where you're talking about taking an inventory of you know, that person's assets. I want to ask you, what are, I mean, you know, you mentioned one. You said retirement accounts. You know, typically a lot of people forget because, again, once they've started their job, which could have been, you know, 20, 30 plus years ago, and then, you know, they just forget about it, right? What are other common, or I wouldn't say common, but what are some that are most forgettable items that people may own that, you know, until they meet with you, they forget that, hey, I have this.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of surprising that people would forget about some of the things that they own, but it happens. And so I think common things that people may forget that they owned, sometimes that may be old life insurance policies.
Okay.
Maybe that they, you know, purchased when they were younger, and they just sort of forgot about. Related to that might be, you know, an annuity contract, and then old retirement accounts if they switched jobs and things like that. So I think those are some common ones that, you know, obviously somebody's not going to forget that they owned a house.
Right.
But if it's a matter of, you know, oh, I forgot that paperwork somewhere, and you know, just over time they lose track of it, then then those are some common examples.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I mean, let's go on that topic of, you mentioned life insurance, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they took it out when they were, you know, a lot younger.
Yeah.
Obviously, that time, the beneficiary that they wanted may no longer be the same person.
Yeah.
In the event of that, mm-hmm. how do you guys go about changing that or correcting that?
Yeah. Well, so I think it's important. I've always talked to clients, you know, whether that's through an initial, questionnaire, or whether it's just through meeting the client and going through the different sort of categories of things that people own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I never mean it to be like, oh, do you own this or do you own that? It's more like, let's try and figure out what you have. And by going through that sort of almost systematically, that, oh, yeah, there's that. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, there's that. And, then we can get that bigger picture. And then also asking clients, to our conversation earlier, are you working with anybody? Mm-hmm. do you have an agent, or do you have a financial advisor, or, an investment broker, that type of thing?
So, John, would you actually hold their hand through those intermediary conversations, or would you just say, here's a list, make sure you get all these things done, and come and see me in a few weeks?
Yeah. I'd like to think that I would hold the client's hand through that.
Right.
Maybe I'm not always the best at doing that, but I've certainly tried, because what I've found over the years is that, the topic of estate planning, the topic of, financial planning is, it can be intimidating, and it can be daunting, especially, we all have our own lives, we mm-hmm. all have things, we're all busy, and so the thought of having to do homework, we say, oh, I thought that was over a long time ago. So when I send somebody with homework to find these things, right. So we end up having to hold hands and walk and sort of guide through the process and prompt. Yeah.
Because I've been across situations personally in our profession where somebody would have a trust, but they'd forget to put their property in the trust.
Oh, yeah, that's
so,
a good one.
You know, it's somehow they didn't do their homework, right, is what happened.
Yeah, and really, that can just happen. We actually have a couple of cases right now dealing with that, where unfortunately then, a probate mm-hmm. is needed, whereas probably the original intention of that trust was to avoid probate, at least
right.
one reason. And then, it's hard to believe that then that trust wasn't funded with, the property, and now what do you know? I have to do probate to actually fund the trust, and then
right.
have it distributed through the trust. So that really, I think most estate planners, that's going to be part of their process.
Okay.
When you create the trust, you say, there's two steps. We're going to create this. You're going to sign it,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to fund it. Then we have to put property into it, and that's the step that I think people don't realize, because they think about it like doing a will, like signing,
right.
A will. But it's, once you sign it, that's only half the work, and then you got to put
right.
put
the property
in.
It's the container
in, yeah.
in which then you put your assets
yeah.
into. Right.
And so sometimes, you just see things that sort of slip through the cracks for one reason or another. Maybe the person didn't get back in touch with their attorney. Maybe they switched attorneys, and that just doesn't get accomplished.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you at times, let's say they had a prior estate planning attorney, do you at times tell your client that, hey, if you need me to reach out to this other person, I can do so, and maybe get the information that we need to make sure we're helping you get started off on the right foot with us.
Yeah. I think most estate planning attorneys are pretty collegial.
Open about that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, it just sounds like the inventory process is one of the biggest challenges that people will come across when they're trying to plan their estate.
It definitely can be a challenge, once the process gets started, but there's also challenges before the process gets started. I'm aware of a statistic that it may not be terribly scientific, but that 60% of people don't have a will.
Right.
And of that, a good portion of those, like 47% of those, is just outright procrastination.
Right.
Haven't got around to it.
Right.
And then something like, you know, 20-something percent of those, it's that I don't feel like I have enough assets, mm-hmm. right, to do my estate. Mm-hmm. And so those I think that indicates some problems or challenges that there are to the estate planning process before the process actually even starts.
Right.
So
if you're speaking to those listening,
yeah.
and they're part of that bunch who is maybe procrastinating or
yeah.
holding off or, you know, this doesn't really apply to me,
yeah.
How would you encourage them to move forward with this?
Just do it. the old Nike, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just like anything, you know, you can put it off. And, you know, if you just call somebody, your advisor, your attorney, and get it scheduled up to do it, mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, it's not just for, you know, older folks. It's not just for wealthy people. And, you know, I think that's an important point for people to understand is like, it just, sometimes I hate the word estate because, mm-hmm. it makes it sound like you need, you know.
The implication is something very large and vast.
Very, very large, like some movie set, like you gotta, you know, get on a horse to get to the other side of your property or something,
right.
you know. So, but no, you know, most our clients are, you know, modest means, you mm-hmm. know. You know, whatever you have, it's what you have, and it's important. And it's also, you know, not just about the assets; it's about who comes after you.
Exactly.
What
planning for the next generation. And I like,
you know,
that where you said, you know, you feel the weight of having to help
yeah.
somebody with their narrative.
Yeah,
it's a narrative yeah. of planning for the next generation.
Yeah, it's really yeah. true. Yeah.
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 Well, John, if there's a way that somebody wanted to reach out to you and inquire more about your services, how can they do that?
Yeah, well, you can find us on the internet, so you can visit our website, so that'd be www.shrlaw.org, or you can give our office a call, 536-2800.
Okay.
And
is there anything special you want to share for our listeners?
Just if anybody's listening, we offer free consultations, so you can come in and we can get that process started if you wanted to.
That's great. We've been speaking with John Van Etto, an estate planning attorney at the law office of Stephen H. Reese. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Coming up next, we have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this. Have you ever been worried leaving your loved one alone? Whether it be illness, a fall, or just personal safety, the Electronic Caregiver Mobile Medical Alert System with GPS technology will give you that peace of mind. With the simple press of a button, an on-call staff member will be able to locate you and provide expedited help by alerting family or emergency medical services. To learn more about the Electronic Caregiver, call Priscilla Wong at 954-0820 and mention Kupuna Wiki to receive a free gift. Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
And now we have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors and sponsored by the Law Office of Stephen H. Reese. And the question for last week was, what was the largest recorded wave ever surfed on the North Shore? And that was by Ken Bradshaw in 1988, which was a whopping 85 feet. And now for this week's Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia, again brought to you by John Van Etto at the Law Office of Stephen H. Reese, we have Andrew presenting.
Paradise Cove Luau, the largest luau in the state of Hawaii, cooks tons of kalua pig each year for its nightly luaus. How many pounds do they go through?
For a chance to win a Long's gift card, be the first person to call us with the correct answer at 808-792-5188. And we hope everyone is staying safe this time as we socially distance. And remember, if you want to hear previous episodes of the Kupuna Wiki radio show, please go to our website at kupunawiki.com, or you can call us to hear about some of our great service providers at 792-5188.
Again, we'd like to thank this segment sponsor, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 753-5188. 9033.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Kupuniki Radio Show, Hawaii's senior resource. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Again, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you back next time on the Kupunawiki Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Kupuna Wiki radio program. If you'd like more information about today's topics, please call us at 792-5188. That's 792-5188. Or visit us online at kupunawiki.com. Until next time, aloha.
The preceding program was sponsored by Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource.